Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar is the most electric guy in the league right now. The shiftiness, the play extension, he's second to none in that regard. He's got an arm that's a cannon, and each week you just see a highlight by him. So I don't think anybody really compares to him right now.
Mainly low lights when he plays the Steelers. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. We are coming to you live from Mike's Beer Bar, the site of our big Christmas Bash karaoke event tonight. Pat Freiermuth scheduled to appear. We have one of our loyal listeners, Peyton, studying our every move here. He's an aspiring broadcaster at Point Park, Malzi. Did you do that with the broadcasters you wanted to emulate when you were older, when you were his age?
No.
No.
No, because I never had
any. You had no muse. You had nobody that was.
The person I listened to the most growing up was, by orders of magnitude, Thor Tolo.
What happened to Thor?
I think he went up and did work in Cleveland for a while.
Did he look at that as like a step up? Like he left?
Like a lateral step, I think.
Was he forced out?
I don't remember how it ended for him. I just remember Thor could always get my mom, of all people, very fired up. She'd be listening to him like after dinner doing sports talk, and she would just get very.
Among the hosts at the station now, who is Thor Tolo most like in terms of style and personality?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
So does your mom get fired up from listening to me?
Occasionally.
Really?
Occasionally.
Wow.
I mean, I think I've like explained to them like what the business really is, though, and like.
You tell them how the sausage is made?
A little bit, yeah. I think my parents are most entertained by like the Richie Walsh show sports calls that I do, because Richie sometimes is doing avant-garde painting on that show.
Oh,
it's an adventure with Richie. It's a roller coaster that doesn't actually have a defined track.
Lamar Jackson is 1-4 against the Steelers, and the numbers are atrocious. Mm-hmm. And they were worse. It went from bad to worse against them a few weeks ago when they played here.
Yep.
I have a confession, though.
You think he's going to have a good game?
I do. And I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's infiltrated my body or my mind that has me saying it. The one thing that I heard this morning when I was driving around going to the gym, when I was listening to the morning guys, that I think was maybe my epiphany on it, was something that they said, and I knew this, but I hadn't really thought about it. They've never played him twice in one season.
He's either been hurt,
or they haven't,
or
needed
had
game, so they
they've not
him.
Needed the game, because overall he's been so great that they've been in a comfy position.
And I know I've said before in a very like braggadocious way, like we look down on him because he stinks against us, that I'm not going to predict him to have a good game against the Steelers until it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of this game for me defensively for the Steelers, coming off the Eagles game and what Jalen Hurts did,
mm-hmm.
I am alarmed by, and I said I did not want to make too much of that game, But the one thing that is sticking in my craw is this. I am concerned by how bad the defense looked when you subtracted two guys who I think are useful players, but I don't think are by any means great players. And those two guys are Deshaun Elliott and Larry Ogunjobi. And I think with Ogunjobi, it's the drop-off from him to a scrub named Dean Lowry, who I don't think, if we're playing a game of can you name every Steeler on the 53-man roster.
Dean Lowry is going to be a terrific immaculate grid submission in a couple years.
Just to, who would the team be that he played for before this one? Minnesota?
Did he get run for them?
I don't know why that's in my head, but I think
well,
Dean
now
Lowry,
we've got to do a quick
Steelers
10-second Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry actually has lingered like a stale fart in the NFL. Green Bay, then Minnesota, then the Steelers. So okay. Dean Lowry right this second could be a very good immaculate grid.
And then Elliott, man, has just been kind
he's
of
been
a game changer for them.
He's
dude.
Been for them. He's been he was brought in on a role player kind of salary in agreement, like you know, short term contract for you know, pretty middling to small amount of money. He's played like a borderline star. I mean, he's been super decisive, too, at tackling, which was the thing that hurt them the most in Philly. They couldn't tackle.
I actually want to do something right now. I want to issue you a heartfelt apology.
Uh-oh.
Because I feel like...
You don't like apologies, for the record. You're not like somebody who really believes in the concept or value of them.
Yeah, because I don't think that an apology should
It doesn't
just...
wipe away what you did.
Yeah.
Hey, I punched you in the face because I got mad. I'm sorry. I think they're much more well-served for kids. But you want to issue me one that's heartfelt?
The heartfelt apology is I find myself doing exactly what you did before the last game, and I ripped you for it.
Which was
you predicting that Lamar was going to have a big game, and I railed against it saying, there's no way, it's never happened before. Why would you say it's going to happen? Why would you predict it when we've never seen it before?
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am saying I think he's going to have a good game. So I apologize now. So you, by all means, if you want, unload on me and call me whatever name you want, or say I'm an idiot for.
It's not as fun when I have your permission to rip you beforehand. I want to make that decision on my own. I mean, the law of averages suggests that a guy that has been this good against the rest of the league just eventually. Like, I understand that the Steelers have a role in making him play poorly. It's not just a guy going ice cold in the NBA. From three-point range specifically, it's they have a scheme that makes it tougher for him. But law of averages is eventually he's going to get loose and make the plays. It could have happened in the game they won with Pickett, 17-10. If his receivers catch the ball, they might win that game somewhat comfortably, the Ravens. The two times in 1 year that they have never seen him twice in a season, it is interesting because the one thing he's never gotten to do against them, therefore, is get on like sort of a roll or like get into a rhythm playing against that defense.
Or it's
been very scattered and staggered.
So I was going to say the opposite, like play them and then make adjustments.
Well, that's what I mean, though. When I say that, like when I say get on a roll, it's okay. This didn't work 5 weeks ago when we played them. I'm back. Let's do things that are going to counter that. They've not had to.
Doran said it's a different animal for that reason, and the take kind of resonated with me, actually, and made me feel like, uh-oh.
So what are the I'm trying to think of some of the things they typically do against him that you could probably scheme for or adjust. They love to force him to his right or to his left. The one thing that they didn't do against Philly, just as a sidebar, when we're talking adjustments, we always hear that one of the pieces of secret sauce or not so secret sauce is they send a guy sprinting straight at him and force him to give up the ball or make a very fast decision on his own read. Did they not do that with Jalen Hurts? Because man, it looked like Hurts was just doing whatever the hell he wanted back there on some of those zone read plays.
I'm not saying that the way that they strategized and bottled up Jackson, and I think he gets gun shy of running against them because he knows he's going to get hit so much. And I also think like constantly in his head, he's thinking that he needs to be
terrific.
I do think he feels at this point in his career. That not only does he have to win games, but winning games with his arm is what he wants to do to show people that he really is a upper crust quarterback, like one of the best. So I do think that, you know, the Steelers' strategy, but also the way like he's hell-bent on beating them, plays into their favor. one thing that they benefited immensely from in the game that I was at earlier in the year was that Henry fumbled very early on, and then Harbaugh removed him from the game like an idiot.
Especially in the fourth quarter, just completely nullified him.
Right.
They didn't have to do anything to stop him. He didn't touch the ball.
And so let's say the Steelers, not like in terms of schematics, but let's say their overall philosophy in this game is the same thing as it was against the Eagles.
Yep.
Which is, let's make sure the running back doesn't beat us.
Okay.
If they want to beat us through the air, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to sell out to stop the read option and specifically stop Derrick Henry. Okay. Do I think Lamar Jackson, who has 34 touchdowns and 3 interceptions against a beaten-up secondary with Deshaun Elliott probably out and Dante Jackson banged up, do I think that it's conceivable that he has a good game against them in that situation where he throws it 25 times? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually do. So I actually lied to you on Monday. There is some residue left over from the Eagles game, even though I tried to downplay it as a game that really shouldn't.
It's a pretty similar offense. Well, the Eagles' offense isn't similar. I don't want to say that. But the basic principles
of a dual-threat quarterback.
Dual-threat quarterback, great running back. And I know Flowers is not A.J. Brown, nor is he really close. I think A.J. Brown is still one of the best receivers in the league. But Flowers is on an upward trajectory. Here's the other thing. And I think even staunch like...
By the way, you haven't answered the question yet. Do you think that their run of dominance will continue against Lamar?
I think Lamar's going to have the best game he's played against them. I don't know how good that game will look because I am giving some deference to their ability to slow him down. I think he's going to have statistically the most impressive game he's had. That probably foretells a loss, though. Like, because usually they win these close games or he plays poorly. If he plays as well as I'm suggesting, they'll probably lose. I would just say this, though, about that first matchup. I don't know one person, even people who think he gets a bad rap, an unfair rap against the Steelers, felt like he played well. Everyone acknowledged, did not play a good game. And yet, think about how close that game was, what it came down to, and what didn't go right for them. Tucker was missing field goals. Peyton Wilson makes one of the great plays you will see on defense in the entire NFL this year. Henry fumbled, which did change the calculus. And their doofus coach didn't give him the ball one time in the fourth quarter. And it was a two-point game that came down to, like, Peasy Jr. making a great play on a two-point conversion.
The common denominator every time they played against them, or played against him, is that he turns the ball over, or they do. Right? I mean, that's the
yes.
Even the game that they even the game he won against the Steelers.
He had a bunch of turnovers.
He had
in that
three
game.
Interceptions, and thank God they were playing Duck Hodges. No,
well, Humphrey.
To Duck.
No, thank God for Marlon Humphrey, who made the play that probably saved that game for
yes.
them.
Isn't that the game where Mason Rudolph's face mask was
yes.
off?
Yes, Earl Thomas hit him so hard that they had to cut the face
and the
mask
cart
off.
Broke, and
so they had to take a man who could barely stand on his own off the field with that like vacant look on his face.
Oh my
yes.
God. By the way, he's starting on.
The Will Levis era is officially at an end. You know, when Mason got hit like that by Thomas, that's the closest I've come to thinking a guy died because he got hit so hard in a football game. Like I thought, because he felt like a sack of flour. Like he did not. He went full motionless immediately. But
it's
yes,
just the image of him walking away
like
with his
this,
face
though,
mask
like,
off.
Like he looks like he had 20 beers. Did you get knocked out by a punch or a hit, or did you have 20 beers? Who could say? You're right, though. They turn the ball over. They do. It's a common denominator. And then I think those turnovers, especially if they happen early in the game, I think that one thing that I believe to be real, and you've said this a lot about him, I think all of that stuff for Lamar, as good as he is, as mentally tough as he is, I think when it happens against the Steelers, it wears on him more than it does in other games because you know what it is? It's like that old, here we go again.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Here's another one. Like, compare it to this really quickly. Like, when the Steelers would play the Patriots with Brady, even if the Steelers were having a good game, if one little thing started to go wrong, you'd go, here we go again. Or when the Pirates would play the Cardinals from 13 to 15, they could win the first two games of a series. If the Cardinals, like, battered them in the last game, oh, boy, they sent that message, here we go again next time we see them. I think that's what it is for Lamar sometimes.
AB has been communicating with the show over Rob Pratt's comments from KDK AM. Pratt saying that the Steelers need to sign AB because their wide receiver room is in such peril, and AB could also be a good mentor figure.
Mm-hmm.
To George Pickens, and AB has said, no, I would be the number one wide receiver in that room. Charlie, do you have the audio of Pratt talking about this?
No, not yet.
Well, I don't think we'll get it because you said it's just horrible, right? He, like, did it from his living room and there was
an episode of
Matlock playing in the background.
Pratt strikes me as more of a Columbo guy. Just one more thing.
He had, like, you know how local channels have, like, HD2 and HD3 channels?
Yes.
And, like, some of those channels just play westerns and TV shows from the 1950s.
Like, on the radio, you mean?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, HD2 and HD3 on TV.
Yeah,
okay,
like radio. Cozy TV and all these.
Oh, yeah.
Channels.
Like, they play, like, Gunsmoke reruns or whatever.
Pratt strikes me as a guy that would just love that program.
I'm willing to bet that if somebody had an... Because there's HD2...
You agree with that, T-Bird?
Yeah, he might be watching MASH right now.
So, well, that's from the 70s, T-Bird. I mean, you got to go further back than that.
I know, but still, that was a good line.
My thing with Pratt is he strikes me as somebody that, because radio stations now have HD2 and HD3 kind of things too that play different content.
Yeah.
If there was one that played the old, because T-Bird, I'm sure, knows this, he's an audio geek, played the old radio serials that sometimes got ported over to television, I can imagine Pratt just hearing Gunsmoke on the radio, like a radio acted show like that, and just being in heaven, man.
Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line in 20 minutes. Mike Florio joins us. Mike Florio had a volcanic take on the Steelers that we'll tell you about next. And also, one more thing that comes out of Eagles and Steelers that we have to tell you about. But first, a headline. We're live at Mike's Beer Bar, our big event, our karaoke event later on tonight. Come on down and see us. It's free. I'll buy you some beers if you come by and say hello. We will listen back to the Malzy the Snowman song.
Apparently it's been re-recorded with a new ending, potentially.
We teased it yesterday with the a cappella sample we had. Now the final product is out. And split reviews on it. Some love it. Some think it's the worst thing the station's ever done. So we'll...
I like that some people think because it was recorded in the studio but off the air, people are like, and you're doing this on a sports talk station? Yes, during a commercial break. I did like one respondent on Twitter who said, I hear Top Dog Law in the background, so I know it's legit.
Are we going to get Top Dog Law representatives at our holiday party here tonight? Let's get that guy on stage to do a Christmas number. He attacked Santa. Beat him in the balls. Now we need Top Law Dog.
Top Dog. Lawrence Timmons highlights.
All right. So a few things here. Mike Florio set to join us in 15 minutes. Mike had an unreal take today on the Steelers and what's next for them at quarterback. But before we turn the page on that, I want to play for you what Darius Slay, who was right there in the middle of the Darnell Washington kerfluffle and should have been thrown out of the game. He said that the Eagles were inspired. They were motivated to win that game. It had nothing to do with Nick Sirianni giving the team, this is the state championship. We need to represent Philly and beat the team on the other side of the state.
Okay.
Instead, this is what they channeled to beat the Steelers in that game Sunday.
And we had to get the win for our quarterback, too, man. You know, not Hurts. We're talking about Kenny, man. Kenny Pickett, man, because he's a great dude, man. Without Kenny Pickett, I think our defense wouldn't be like, I won't say wouldn't be great because we want to be great regardless, but Kenny would give us a great look on scout team, man. I'm talking about a damn great look. Even when we play scrambling quarterbacks, we play guys with strong arms because he could do it all. You know what I'm saying? He got a strong arm. He can run around. He can make plays with his legs, everything. So he's done a lot to help us get ready and be ready for these games, man. So shout out to Kenny, man. We wanted to get this dub for you too as well because we knew how important it was because, like I said, everybody wanted to be their team that traded him away. You know what I'm saying? Definitely like it was nothing. You know, and his situation was like, you know, hey, they bought in a whole new quarterback, couple two quarterbacks, another former first-round quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So I understand where he's coming from. We did that for you, man. It's too, Kenny. So, man, shout out to my boy Kenny, man, for helping us, you know, prepare for this week, man, giving us tips about how to, you know, look for and what to look for into these guys because he's been in that room with them. But we got this dub for you, big dog, man. Shout out to my boy Kenny, man.
That is – he's got to be trolling.
Petty game ball.
He's got to be trolling.
Pickett, the strong arm in practice. And then the little tips he gave them.
Little tiny tips. He took a pen in those little tiny hands and wrote out a tip sheet.
You know what?
What would he know about Arthur Smith? He wasn't coached by him.
He knows Mike. He probably said, hey, if they get into a position where it's fourth down,
they're probably going to punt.
They're going to punt.
That's the second most enraging thing I have seen coming out of the Eagles from this game.
What's that?
I saw people crediting Big Dom for having a great conversation with Jalen Hurts in the
I hate that guy.
Like during the gap between Carolina and Pittsburgh that really set him on the right path. If I hear one more syllable about Big Dom in the rest of my life, it'll be one too many.
That comment, though, is honestly one of the most depressing things I think I've ever
heard. We won it for Kenny. He's so great in scout team.
That's what he's been reduced to. That's what he – that's now
his role.
He
gives us a lot of looks. He's got a really strong arm, and he's mobile. He's perfect giving our defense good reps in practice. That feels – I don't – Slay sounded very sincere there. That feels like the most backhanded of backhanded compliments
of course it is.
All time.
I still think there's a chance that my premonition comes through. That they're so good across the board. Hurts is going to take a hit in a playoff game, and Kenny's going to come in and lead him to victory.
I mean, the all-time, like, could we possibly – it would – sports talk here goes nuclear. The Steelers get their act together, get healthy, and go on a not completely stunning but pretty damn surprising run. They win the AFC. Mike Tomlin is one win away from, like, cementing his legacy, rewriting a ton of the narratives in town about him. They've got to go through the Philadelphia Eagles. T.J. Watt knocks Hurts out of the game in the early second quarter of a tie game. Oh, boy, here we go. Steelers are going to roll these guys. And if Kenny were to hold the fort and, like, pull a Jeff Hostetler, I don't know if I could go on the air the next day. And you know what would happen, right?
How would I feel in that situation?
Pitt fans would come out of the woodwork to tell us that they screwed up by letting him go and that he would have led them to a Super Bowl had they just – you know, giving him some extra time.
I think I would incline to say something along
no,
those lines.
No, give me a break.
Look what you guys gave up on. Look what he's done. He ripped your heart out. He beat you in the biggest game.
I might dive over the table a la Jim Everett and Jim Rome if you started in on that the next day.
How should we feel about these Mike Florio comments? He's set to join us in 10 minutes. His take is that Kirk Cousins and the Steelers could be a thing in 2025. You bring in Kirk Cousins to run your offense and play Steelers football with Arthur Smith. There's just something there that continues this idea of, you know what, we'd like to get a long-term franchise quarterback. We haven't found one yet. So let's get a guy who dollar for dollar is a hell of a value. Don't pay Russell Wilson 40.
Just keep cycling through damaged goods veterans.
Let the Falcons pay Kirk Cousins to play for the Steelers. Your thoughts?
I'm trying to find, and I don't know usually where to go to find this stuff. I'm trying to find this year why or what percentage, specifically with Wilson, the Steelers have run play action. Because that is really the story with Cousins in Atlanta. I don't know if you've read up on it. Zach Robinson, the guy that you and I think would have been happy with being the Steelers' next OC, is the OC there. Kirk Cousins does one thing, like, way better than everything else. He thrives on play action. You run the play fake. You stand him back there, and he throws the ball well. They don't run play action there. They just don't do it.
Arthur Smith loves it.
Well, so I was trying to find out how much Arthur Smith loved it while you were bringing this up. Because if Arthur Smith loves it to the point where he would essentially tailor the offense around play action concepts, Cousins could probably come here and put up pretty damn good numbers.
So here's what the
like, it doesn't sound crazy if you try to match coordinator with what the player likes to do.
Okay, but
he's Kirk Cousins. Don't you feel like there's an automatic ceiling?
One guy has won a Super Bowl and
won one playoff game.
Exactly.
And is known for being one of the biggest choke artists in big games in recent memory.
But here's the most compelling thing about it. Would you rather pay Russell Wilson $40 million to be your quarterback next year or pay Kirk Cousins too?
I'd rather pay Cousins too.
Because if Cousins gets cut, it's going to be the same situation where the Falcons have to pay his salary, and then you get him for the veteran minimum.
I would rather pay him the veteran minimum, man. I don't think the gap is so big between those two that it's $38 million. Do you?
God, no, I don't.
You know there's not a $38 million gap there. Do you think Tomlin likes Cousins? Do you think he probably likes all the gamer stuff? No?
I don't think he does as much. I'll go back to what we see. Well, he did have that great Thursday night
game. He's completely immobile, though.
Yeah, he's not mobile, so no. In that respect, he wouldn't.
Russ is mobile, but not very mobile. Cousins is less mobile.
He really. Russell Wilson's career against the Steelers before that, before they brought him in here, the two games he played against them in Seattle, he was amazing.
correct.
He was basically perfect. It was, I think, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions.
He cooked them bad.
I think Cousins has looked bad against the Steelers in most of the games he's played against them. Earlier this year, there was a Monday night game to start the year when he was with Washington. He won a Thursday night game against the Steelers, but they almost blew it, and he turned the ball over late. I don't know. I don't think Tomlin – I think Tomlin in that situation would be I think he would look at it like, let's bring Fields back.
He wasn't even that good in the game where he was – in fact, he was not good at all in the game where the Steelers almost rallied to tie them.
That's the Minnesota game I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't realize his – I knew they had scored a decent amount of points. I didn't realize his individual numbers
sucked
that bad.
All right, but I'll put it this way again.
He's like, better at $2 million, though, than Russ is at $40.
And, like, in that situation, can you coax Justin Fields into coming back here? But then the issue with that is you basically have to build two completely different offenses. One for a guy that's 37 and can't move, and the other for one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the entire NFL.
I would argue that they've done that this year because they don't run anything close to the same offense they did with Fields with Russ. There's a big enough gap. They run those zone read concepts with Russ. Or not zone read, but they run those like potential QB keeper stuff, and Russ gets like 3 yards behind beyond the line of scrimmage and looks like he's looking for the off ramp, man.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Florio next, first a headline. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. We are at Mike's Beer Bar for our Christmas karaoke event. We sing Christmas songs with our listeners every year around this time here at Mike's, right next to PNC Park. It's always a great evening. Pat Freiermuth is scheduled to appear, among other Pittsburgh celebrities. Pompeiani, I think, is kind of in limbo. Maybe his head has gotten big after that Malty the Snowman single that came out, thinking about how live performances don't always sound as good as the studio ones. I don't know. There's studio bands. There's live bands in the music industry. Some are just like Steely Dan, I told you. Great studio band, horrible on tour. Just awful.
Really? That's their rep?
Mm-hmm.
Random, play live. Random modern band that I think is actually better live. I don't even know if you've ever heard of them. You should have heard of them. Paramore.
Yeah.
Haley Williams. Better
red
live.
Hair.
What's that? Yeah, red hair. Like,
oh,
band puts
phenomenal
on a good show, and her voice is better live than it is on the albums. It's incredible.
How about our guy Peyton over here?
He's getting after it.
There's like 6 scoops of vanilla
steak
ice cream
on a stone,
and
he's got this
apple dumpling.
Yeah, he's living right.
He's living his best life.
He's
doing.
I just respect the hell out of it. He's living his best life. He's loving it right now. He's going to be a big star in this
industry.
No
concern about counting calories or what's going in, what's coming out.
Calories? Counting? You don't do either of those things in college.
It's time to talk to Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, do you listen to Christmas music this time of year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Was down in the barn last night. I dialed up the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Wow.
Got a lot of that rockabilly, Christmas, different interpretation on the various Christmas songs. Yeah, I love listening to Christmas
music. Now, Brian Setzer Orchestra, were they like...
Zoot Riot.
No, that was Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Oh, my bad.
Brian Setzer was in Stray Cats. That was
okay, but that was like swing revival, right? They were doing swing type music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Wizards in Winter. Dun, 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 or whatever. you into that at all?
Yeah, you know, but last year my son sent me the clip of Family Guy where Ding Fries Are Done. If you guys heard that.
Oh, no. Yes.
Now, every time I hear that tune now, I think, ding, fries are done, ding, fries are done. I gotta run.
Would you like an apple pie with that?
Yes.
last one that I'll ask. This is a sleeper hit, but it's always my number one pick now for best Christmas song. The Waitresses doing that Christmas rapping song. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun, dun,
heard it.
Dun.
Yeah, I don't know that one. Do I know that?
No, Mike, you got to look at it.
Mike, you got to listen to that one. I think it would be right up your alley, my friend.
Mike strikes me as a guy that likes the classics, your Nat King Cole's, your Perry Cuomo's.
I mean, he just said he was listening to Brian Setzer Orchestra's Christmas.
Perry Cuomo? You mean the former governor of New York's brother, Perry? Mario and Perry Cuomo hanging out.
Who's the guy from Cambridge?
Perry Cuomo.
Oh, Cuomo.
Yeah, not Cuomo. Were you going to say Perry Mason next?
Hey, Mike, people have seen what you've said about Kirk Cousins and the Steelers, and we're getting texts like, did Mike watch Enigma and start taking the ayahuasca treatment? So I just want to get your take on what you said.
Well, no, it's just that the Steelers got a hell of a deal this year. I mean, the three quarterbacks on their depth chart collectively are making less than Mason Rudolph is. And that's an option for next year to go out and shop for bargains again. I don't know how this season is going to end. If they go one and done in the playoffs and if Russell Wilson doesn't really wow anyone, then, yeah, if Kirk Cousins is available for the league minimum, if he gets cut by the Falcons and he's available for the league minimum, an assessment is made that with, you know, more time, more healing, more just overall recovery from that Achilles, that he's still got gas in the tank, they could do a lot worse. That's really the question, though, for anybody that would want him. We've seen this drop off, and I think it's because he can't muster the power from his lower body because of that torn Achilles, so he's been overcompensating with the rest of his body, and I think he's just gotten to a point the past few weeks where the rest of his body is saying, screw this, man, we can't do this. The arm, too much stress. The core, too much stress. We need that lower body to be part of this puzzle, and it just hasn't been.
One of the reasons, Mike, I'm at least considering the idea and thinking it has some merit is because it seems to me, too, that in Atlanta, they've sort of done him wrong with their scheme. That's a guy who liked to drop back, go play action, and then take shots down the field. And everything I'm reading and seeing, they aren't doing that at all. They basically brought a guy in, paid him $100 million, it seems, and then told him to run an offense he's not good at. Are you hearing the same stuff?
Well, we're seeing the same stuff. The question is, can he physically run the play action, getting a snap from under center and doing what you have to do to backpedal? You do the fake handoff. There's a lot of timing involved. And the receivers are getting out of their break when you're turning back around. I just think that if you watch him closely, there are basic requirements of agility for playing the position that he just doesn't seem to have right now. And it all goes back to that torn Achilles. So the question is, you know, we just assume that if Father Time and when Father Time eventually catches up with a guy, it's going to happen in the offseason. He's going to show up for the start of training camp and he just doesn't have it anymore. Football season is so long. There's a chance that Father Time wins the inevitable race during a season. I used to think that was going to happen to Tom Brady potentially if he kept playing. And Tom Brady, I think, has screwed up everyone's expectations about aging and football. And, you know, most guys aren't going to make it to 40. A lot of these guys we're going to see at some point between 35 and 40, the wheels are going to come off. And sometimes the wheels are going to come off during a season.
Speaking of Brady, as a detour here, we have Brady again this week. He's doing the Steelers and Ravens on Fox. It's actually the first time ever that a Steelers-Ravens game has appeared on Fox in the 60-plus game history of that rivalry. I'm not looking forward to it, Mike. I find his broadcasting this year to be very underwhelming. What's your take on Brady as the number one color analyst for Fox?
In my mind, there's Al Michaels, Pat Summerall, and John Madden, and everybody else. And if you're not one of those three, you're everybody else. And I don't listen to Brady enough to be able to reasonably criticize. I just know that it's either there or it's not. And the voice is squeaky. At times it almost feels like he's trying to deliberately make his voice deeper, like that Elizabeth Holmes who wanted to be Steve Jobs. You know what I mean? Like deliberately trying to make it sound deeper because he knows it's a little high and whiny. And he's just not going to be ever John Madden, Pat Summerall, or Al Michaels. And it feels beneath him to even try. And I don't like the whole thing with the ownership of the Raiders and also then trying to cover the whole league with Fox and the restrictions they put upon him. I think they're trying to get him to choose on his own, to pick a lane, and maybe he will eventually. Maybe he just does this a few years. But it's hard to walk away from $37.5 million to sit and talk in football for 3 hours, especially if everyone at Fox is telling you how great you are. That's the thing. He's probably in a bubble, in a cocoon, where everyone's telling him he's great, and he might be oblivious to the fact that a lot of people are like, this may not be it.
Mike, another kind of broad, general question about football. Do you think the league, or what do you think the league can do to fix replay assist? Because it does not seem like that is working out maybe as intended, or at least as it should, in terms of its practical application.
I think replay assist is a mistake. I think what you need to have is a true member of the officiating staff for that game who is in a booth watching in real time and with replay angles, in order to be a full-fledged member of the crew, not a second look after the fact. And they screwed one up last Monday night where Andre Yosivash of the Bengals made a catch, bobbled it, got his hands on it, tucked it away, and then it was knocked out by Trayvon Diggs of the Cowboys. And it was a fumble on the field, and replay assist swooped in and called it incomplete. It's like, whoa, football move. It's in the rule. Tucking the ball is a football move. Just because it happened quickly doesn't mean it wasn't caught. And the danger with replay assist is you have to remember it takes clear and obvious evidence to overturn the ruling on the field. And sometimes in the desire to be quick, people lose sight of the fact that it's got to be clear and obvious. And we don't know who's making these decisions. Is it the person in the replay booth? Is it someone at 345 Park Avenue? So I just think get a retired official who can't make it on the field anymore physically but knows the rules inside and out, put him or her in the booth, and let that person communicate with the referee, because there's stuff they're going to miss. Face mask is the clear number one most missed call. We see it like once a week or more this year. Just let them be like a member of the officiating crew who sees what we see at home to supplement what the officials see on the field.
Mike, right now, do you think we see Patrick Mahomes on Saturday? And if the answer is no to that question, are we guaranteed to see him on Christmas here against the Steelers?
I think we'll see him on Saturday. And the question is, does Danielle Hunter get to him and aggravate that injury? Not deliberately, obviously, but if you're out there in the fray, you're potentially going to get hit, you're potentially going to get hurt, and then he's got to turn it around even faster. Mahomes said yesterday the ankle injury isn't as bad as it was when it happened in the playoffs against the Jaguars 2 years ago, and he didn't miss a beat then. He was fully participating in practice yesterday, so I think he's going to play. And, you know, it would be fun to see what Andy Reid can do with Carson Wentz, but I think he'll play on Saturday, and if he comes out of the game unscathed, he'll turn it around and be ready to go on Wednesday.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, we won't talk to you again because we'll be off on Christmas watching the games. Thanks for being such a big part of our show in 2024, and we'll talk again soon, okay, man?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go, Mike Florio.
You know what? I'm saying this now after we've let him go and wished him a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas. I feel like we owe Mike a present. He brought us up pepperoni rolls. Remember, he's had those shipped up to us.
What do you get the man, though, that is like a West Virginia king? And just has a gigantic barn that he watches games in and has every team's helmet, all kinds of pinball machines, cigars from around the world.
How about something thoughtful from us? Something that is germane to our show?
Fan gear would be nice. Well, you've got a beautiful fan hoodie on right now.
Thank you. Yeah. Is this more of a hoodie to you or a jacket? I wear it like a hoodie, and Alex...
That's a hoodie.
When I came home, Alex was like, I know, but it zips all the way down. Alex kind of acted like, oh, you wore your jacket as outerwear. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is a hoodie. Now, getting our hands on this stuff and giving it to somebody who does not work for the fan, technically, I know Mike obviously appears weekly with us. That, you want to talk about pulling teeth, my friend. That is a tough order. That's a tough ask.
Fans are demanding that we play the Malzi, the Snowman song and react to it. Do you want to do that now?
Sure.
Do we have it, Charlie? All right, let's hear it.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Malzi the Snowman.
Oh, Malzi the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzi the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzi danced around.
Oh, Malzi the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
Christmas song version of the show Game of Thrones, which had such an atrocious ending that it almost ruined everything that preceded it, which was a great show. I would put it in the conversation with The Wire.
Wait, what was bad about the ending?
They didn't have the book to go by anymore, so they just kind of
winged it.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Exactly. And I think the song, like the pop solo, is the crescendo moment, and then that last verse where we're shoehorning in George McPhee.
Well, wait, it was Malzi. Was as kind as he... What was the last part? Kind as he could be?
Yeah.
It should have just been... It should have been something quick. Malzi,
he's a wonderful man who's made nine straight threes.
Yeah, like... Exactly. All you have to do is... It was as kind as he could be. He's a philanthropist and a great man who once made 9 straight 3s.
Bingo.
Boom. You could have even worked in philanthropist. Just, and that, Joe loves to say that
stuff. And that would have just brought the house down. It would have been a perfect ending.
I agree.
Do have an update from Austin. They're trying to redo it.
Hilarious. Just,
here's, that is the most Joe thing here? Ever, though. He comes up with this big idea. He requisitions multiple people from sales to actually sing backup. And then he realizes horribly, like, he's trying to rhyme something with B. 9 straight 3s is literally right there, and his brain goes to a former NHL GM. How? That's the most on-brand thing in his entire life.
It was right there for him, too.
It really was.
You want to talk about an all-time case of fumbling the bag?
He really did. He was like Jonathan Taylor. He dropped the ball as he was going over the goal line. What was that? Or maybe he was like Scott Norwood lining up a 47-yarder.
All right.
I give the ladies credit. I thought the ladies sounded very good on that.
I thought Bob Solo was tremendous.
Well, it's very – I have one critique, and I can't carry a tune. It is very jarring to hear the ladies' chorus, and then Bob just drops in there sounding like the Barry White of Hopewell.
That oversized hat they found. Where's Austin and all that? He really got –
Was that Bob Bouchette you were doing there?
Maybe. Austin got phased out. Why didn't he go, like, alto on it with his higher voice?
He could have done something.
Frosty.
Yeah. He could have done that. That's a little cruel. Austin, I just found out from talking to Florio, Austin texted, huge fan of Christmas rapping. Austin goes up a notch in my book.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 handle that. A fresh look at Steelers-Ravens next, and we'll give you an update on Watt and Pickens. Quick timeout, and we're right back. Live from Mike's Beer Bar, our big Christmas karaoke event will be here a little bit later on tonight, but first, a message from Malzi.
Hey, thanks, Pony. Awaken 180 weight loss. You know what's awesome about Awaken 180? It gives you the tools to keep the weight off once you've lost it with Awaken. I lost 35 pounds in 6 weeks. I haven't put that weight back on because now I know kind of what I'm doing. I didn't know before when it came to eating. I would overeat. I would eat stuff I really didn't need to eat. I would eat when I was bored. Kind of a lot of the pitfalls a lot of us fall into. Man, it is a liberating feeling, let me tell you right now, to know you can just go out, eat something you want to eat. You're not going to overeat. You're not going to overindulge. And even if you kind of do, you're going to be right back on track the next day. That has been my experience now for over 2 years on the maintenance portion of the program with Awaken 180. And what is the maintenance portion? For me, it's just been I live my life normally, and all the stuff I learned while I was on Awaken 180 kind of informs what I do in the background. It's like a computer program running in the background. You don't even notice it. It just does its job. I cannot speak highly enough for Awaken 180. Paige, the owner, the founder, she and her team genuinely want you to succeed. So do something for yourself. Get yourself the gift of health, of weight loss this holiday season. Call them, 844-346-1800, or schedule your consultation online, awaken180weightloss.com.